Hello and welcome to the first Manx Footy Pod of the 2019-20 season. Today myself and Dave,
hi everyone,
are joined by FC Isle of Man's Paul Jones and Lee Dixon. Right chaps, welcome back. Paul, welcome back to Podcast HQ. We could always have almost have a Paul Jones bench here.
I know, yeah. Thank you for having me. I seem to have seen my face around quite a lot in the last 10 days. So.
Well, I saw some of the staff waving to you today. Walled in again. Lee, welcome back in as well. Always lovely to have you in.
Thank you.
Also, always lovely to have anyone in that brings cake.
I know, this is setting a new benchmark, this, isn't it?
So talk us through what you brought in, chaps.
So we thought, like, part of what we're trying to do with the football club is celebrate the local community. So we thought we'd maybe put the onus on the guests to bring a snack in this year and just to see whether there's a challenge. We had a little FC Isle of Man meeting at Spill the Beans earlier, and these are two fine examples of Spill the Beans cakes. There's a chocolate brownie there, and what have you brought?
I've bought a banana loaf. I just want to point out that as a representation of the two lifestyles we lead. George has bought a chocolate brownie in, and you look at the shape of them, and I've bought a banana loaf in.
Full of goodness. Right, a healthy option.
Look, absolutely amazing. Dave, obviously we stand on the precipice of a new season. Are you excited?
I can't wait. It's come around fast though, hasn't it?
It does. It seems like, I think the last pod we did was with the St George's boys, because the end of the season got away from us a bit.
It sort of merged into TT almost.
I'll say we've enjoyed your break. We've been quite busy, haven't we?
We have, but we have both been away, and you know, we're talking cakes, we should mention the other biscuits that are on.
Yes, so I'm just back from Croatia. So, I was in the Split airport, other airports are available,
yeah.
And I found that they have a massive biscuit collection, including these. Now, these, I can't even say them, is it Damascia?
Damascia?
But they are endorsed by none other than Barcelona water carrier, Ivan Rakitic.
Rakitic,
yeah. It's easy for me to say. So, I'm going to try some of them, and then I also bought some called Dorina Kex. Because they just sounded vaguely
new. Yeah.
Right, so hang on. Oh, I promise, like, they've been in my...
They look like animal biscuits. A little bit bigger than animal biscuits.
I'll pass on them, because I don't know whether you noticed they're actually out of date.
Are they? I was going to say, they only cost me 100, what do you call it? So we try with these. There's a hint, something there.
They look like them animal biscuits you get for kids in the little packets. Yeah. The animal
taste
shapes.
Like the Quality Street sort of chocolate on them, the smell.
Well, there's a bold claim on front of the box that 23% of that biscuit is chocolate.
Oh, that's good. That's handy for
absolutely no
biscuit. I'm going to stick with Spill the Beans.
Yeah, they do.
I couldn't put that junk into my body.
Well, our colleagues will be delighted you are, because we'll share them out later. But yeah, I'll take a picture of the front of the box is quite interesting, isn't it? Lee's going to try the kex out.
I'm going to get the kex out. Judging by this box, Ivan Rakitic has been going to the Roberto Firmino dentist, I think.
Definitely an Instagram thing.
Anyway,
we're not here just to discuss Croatian biscuits and, of course, Spill the Beans cakes. We're here to discuss FC Isle of Man. Obviously, Paul, it's been bubbling under in the background for a while. Those of us on, you know, social media and stuff, you've been doing a lot of work on there.
Yeah.
But some people, obviously you aren't on Facebook, might not know what FC Isle of Man is about, really.
Yeah.
So let's kick off by sort of explaining it in the layman's terms.
It's a football club.
Yes.
Is that enough?
Yeah. Next question.
It has been bubbling around for a while. On my numerous visits last season, we were kind of alluded to the fact that we were looking into various different ways to raise the standard of the Manx game and provide opportunities for Manx residents through football. And really, it's dating back to 12 years ago when we played in, Lee and I played in the England amateur team. The first time around when we visited the Czech Republic, and ever since me and Dicko proved we could play together in the same team, we've
the Gerard and Lampard.
The conversations amongst the players have always been, how can we take ourselves to the next level? And an off-island football team was talked about way back when. And they've been bubbling away. When Jersey did it 9 years ago, the players started talking about it again. When we as coaches did it with England when Burnsy's group won the NLS Cup, it started talking about it again. And the conversations were always, why doesn't somebody do this?
Mm.
And from a player and a coaching point of view, we were waiting for somebody else to do it. When we got knocked out of the NLS Cup back in March, we all took it really hard, and we were kind of looking and going, well, there must be more to football than this, shall we say. The players weren't getting overly inspired with the standard of competition. We thought we had players within the Isle of Man, not just in the game, in the senior game, but in the junior setups as well, who could be exceptional footballers, but they didn't really have the opportunity to get to that sort of level. So we thought, let's see how they get on against some half-decent clubs over the next kind of 12 months, and if they do well, maybe we've got a group of players that we can take into an off-island league. And as we know from the Ireland team setup, they've done pretty well against some pretty decent sides over the last 12 months. I've been talking to the English FA since September. I've been talking to the Northwest Counties League since September last year as well. And doing lots of work behind the scenes to find out whether it's viable, whether having a team based in the Isle of Man playing in an off-island league system is a viable concept. All of those conversations that I've had, which include the Isle of Man FA, when I've been talking to Frank and Lewis informally since February sort of time. I met the board of the FA 2.5 weeks ago, met the member club reps 10 days ago, met the Junior Football League on Tuesday. All those conversations have been positive and supportive in the sense of go and explore it. And this is kind of the next step of that, really. So we believe we've got a group of players now who can go and compete very well in an off-island league. But more importantly, we believe that the Isle of Man is producing and will continue to produce because of the excellent work being done by the clubs and in grassroots football. A conveyor belt of players over the next 10 to 15 years that mean that the Isle of Man could, and our aim is to have, a League Two football club on the Isle of Man in the next 12 years.
Wow.
So we're not going in to just play at step 6 or step 5 or step 4 and stay there. Our aim is to provide a platform for Manx residents within football. Some of them might be players, some of them might be coaches, some of them might be media, some of them might be HR professionals, whatever it might be, administrators, event organisers, marketing, whatever it might be, to have a professional football club on the Isle of Man that springboards them into the professional game, or stay on the Isle of Man and not have to go off. So that's quite a long-winded answer, but we've spent an awful lot of time thinking about how to do that with the best interests of the Isle of Man at heart, with the best interests of the local game at heart, and doing it in an integrated way rather than standing alone and doing it by ourselves and sticking two fingers up at everybody else and just doing it for 14 players. That isn't what we're doing. And hopefully, certainly the meetings we've had with the FA and the JFL have reassured people. Mm-hmm. And maybe as we have this conversation today, it might reassure a few other people that actually this isn't a bad idea.
No. Obviously, this sort of podcast, it's been, as we've said, bubbling under for a while, but it's been kicked off a little bit by us, the statement last week where you've sort of said, right, we're going to go for it now. We're going to start exploring the opportunity to go into the Northwest Counties League, isn't it?
Yeah.
Why that league? Was that, is just geographics, or is it just because?
It's a really good question. So as part of the feasibility study, part of it, we inquired really about going into Scotland, Scottish leagues, Welsh leagues, Northern Ireland, the Republic of Ireland, and the English league system, and looking at all the pros and cons. Going the English pathway is probably the best at this moment in time. Ireland have got issues at this moment in time with the FAI and basically weren't up for having those sort of conversations. But in essence, if we go in any other direction other than England, our players become international players. That's the players of FC Isle of Man would be international players. They would not be able to be involved in Manx football at all.
Right.
If we then... as part of the obligation of playing in an Irish league or a Scottish league, had to put a junior team in as an under-18s league, all of those players would be taken out of the Manx game and it would be international transfers. So if we're looking to do what's right by the Manx game and the local game, we have to be part of a joined-up pathway. The only way we can keep a joined-up pathway is by going through the English system. The fact that Jersey have done it, in the last few weeks, and Guernsey have done it for the last 9 years, also proves that it's possible for an island of our population size to do it in a sustainable manner. Mm-hmm. We've spoken to Jersey and spoken to Guernsey, and we hope that we can tweak what they've done so as it's an even better scenario for us rather than what they've had.
Yeah. Now, Lee, one of the North West Counties League sides is Widnes, who we played a couple of weeks ago. Do you feel that's a good standard for us to kick off against?
Well, I think they're actually two or three leagues above we're actually going to have to enter. And I think the English FA themselves, obviously, if they are keen on this and if the North West Counties are keen on this, you've got to remember there's going to be a lot of clubs with their nose put out if they enter us into a league where we may feel that we fit, and it may be that we feel like we fit higher than where Widnes are anyway, but to keep people happy, there's sort of got to be like a base entry, and I think the level we're going in at, it will replicate what happened with Guernsey and Jersey in the pyramid, in the south of England, albeit, they'll have to enter us into at the same kind of level. And so I would hope in the first two, three, four seasons that we'd have a really good chance of getting promotion back on back, and rising up the leagues, because we played Widnes in the summer, no disrespect to them, but I thought we were considerably better, and we had still had quite a few lads missing. We hadn't really done any preparation. We'd come off the back of the Island Games, had a little breakaway, and then just come back together for that game. So I would like to think we're higher than that, but inevitably we're going to have to go in where we're told and try and make the best of a bad job.
Yeah.
And get up the leagues as quickly as you can. And you know what? It's good for integration, because sometimes if you go in too quickly, it'd be a shock to the system and you might actually hit a wall straight away, and that's not what we want to do. If we can build momentum for the players, our players know how good they are. They know what they're capable of. We know what we're capable of. We know what we believe in. So it would give us two or three years maybe to find our feet as we maybe go up through the leagues and learn as we go. Because, you know, you're going to learn on the job. There's an awful lot. It's a difference between playing a friendly in one-off games over a summer when the weather's nice and we're on our lovely pitch and all that, then going over in the middle of winter maybe to play someone in the northwest where the pitch is a mud bath. Mm. They're all the things we've struggled with in the playing in the NLS.
Yeah.
Going on bad pitches. Teams aren't stupid. They see the Isle of Man, they go pick a bad pitch.
Yeah.
That's boggy, bad weather and all them sort of things. That suits them down the ground. We've probably come away from that a little bit because we're trying to set our sights a lot higher in level of opposition. We found it hard going back down to that level at times, which has been frustrating. But like Paul said, when he made that conscious decision to change the mindset of this is what we're going to try and do for you lads if you get on board, I think it's been a revelation, his decision when he made it, and I think the players have bought into it and they've seen the benefits of it, and now the next step for them is this.
Yeah.
They've had now Wolves, Derry, Brentford B team, Connors Key. You can reel off all them fantastic results we had in performances, but actually they want to get their teeth into something real now.
Yeah.
And it's almost maybe achieving the impossible that people thought would never happen.
And we would say all this is a moment is preliminary, isn't it? Discussion.
Yeah. So yeah, that's really important. And in some ways, the member clubs of the Isle of Man FA, we're going a little bit cap in hand to them. We're kind of saying, look, in order for the North West Counties League to apply on our behalf to join the system, which is what they have to do, we have to demonstrate we've got a sustainable business model. We have to demonstrate we've got a ground that we can use. We've had really good conversations with the Department of Education, Sport and Culture and Department of Enterprise about various different pieces. But all that hinges on affiliating to the Isle of Man FA. And affiliating so as we have to affiliate to the County FA where we aim to play our home games.
Mm-hmm.
So if we want an Isle of Man based football club, there's only one place we can affiliate.
Yeah.
In England, it's a pretty straightforward process, but in the Isle of Man, because this situation has never happened before, it goes to a members vote. And the members are voting, so the club reps will be voting, and each club will be voting to allow FC Isle of Man to affiliate to the Isle of Man FA, with the proviso that FC Isle of Man never put a team in the Manx League.
Right.
In any level,
yeah.
Men's, women's, junior game.
Okay.
We don't want to. That's not what we're here to do, because that would ruin the Manx game, because everyone would just go to FC Isle of Man.
Yeah.
So, can we affiliate as an associate member to the Isle of Man FA, but not be part of your league structure? And that's a really important point. Now, if the vote, the vote is required in October in order to allow us to then have more serious conversations with the North West Counties League, in order to allow us to talk to commercial partners potentially, because we've got the support of the clubs in order to take the next step forward. Okay. If they say no, then all those conversations can't happen, or we have to do it in a different way. And if we do it in a different way, then it's as, is you know, it's not great for the match game, and we don't want to do that.
So the nuts and bolts of it, so in essence, the logistics, the funding, how you will get a team in it across the island for 42 games or whatever it is. Is it a lot of games at that level?
38 games.
Yeah, and we've seen how Guernsey FC, I follow them on Twitter, and they struggle sometimes with even everything from aircraft to pitch availability and all sorts of stuff like that.
Yeah.
All those conversations would sort of start happening after that decision?
More so. So part of the presentation to the FA and the Junior Football League was, look, we kind of need your support to take those conversations to the next level where it becomes a real possibility. But even then, it doesn't mean it's going to happen, because we might not be able to raise the funds, or we might not be able to really get the key partnerships that we require. The English League, the English FA might not even find a place for us in the league system. Mm-hmm. You know, there's lots of other different hurdles, but we can't really see whether we can get over those hurdles unless we're affiliated. It's part of that kind of process, and we're hoping, and we think that we did in the last two meetings we have, reassure the clubs that we're doing it with the very best intentions, with them at the heart of it and the Manx community at the heart of it. We're kind of gone public now to try and ascertain whether there is really the support to make this work. Are there going to be 1,500 people going to turn up and watch us play? Mm. Are there the commercial partners around that are willing to help fund, whether that's in payment in kind for services, or whether it's, you know, putting money into it for sponsorship? Are there people there that want to be members of the club and pay £20 a year in order to make it happen? You know, we need to find that sort of stuff out, and reassure not just the clubs, but the North West Counties League and the English FA, that we've got a business model that's viable for years to come, not just the next 12 months.
We've had, obviously, over the last few years, there's like Manx rugby clubs and hockey clubs have been competing off island and things like that. Have you had much communication with any other sports in terms of like finding out how they've gone about things and any things that they would recommend you do? Or
yeah, we've had, again, kind of informal conversations. There's lots of kind of what ifs, really. So some of the questions that I see that have come in are all kind of what if sort of questions, and my response to a lot of them will be, well, until we're affiliated, we don't know. Until we're affiliated, we're not in a position to have detailed conversations with clubs or other sports, because it's just pie in the sky. Until that point, it is completely what ifs. Mm-hmm. So our suggestion to the Isle of Man FA is that we have an Isle of Man FA rep on the board of FC Isle of Man, so they're aware of everything that goes on. We have a working group with the Isle of Man FA and FC Isle of Man that talks through all the logistics details. And we also start talking to other sports. So is chartering a plane a better option to get all the sports teams off the Isle of Man rather than all of us trying to find individual flights? Yeah. Or what if we bought a minibus that stays in Liverpool that any other sports team can use? Yeah. What if when we generate a surplus, we can reinvest back into the Manx community and the Manx game via charitable donations? Whether that be by bringing coaches over to help educate grassroots coaches, or whatever it might be. There's so many kind of what ifs, but we can't really talk about that in detail until we're affiliated, and we can't find out how we can maybe help some of the challenges that are in the Manx game until we know that we've got a viable business model. So a lot of the questions people are asking are miles away from where we're at the moment, and we've got ideas, but it's not for us to tell everyone what's going to happen. It's for us to work with them over the next 6 months to find solutions.
Yeah.
And we can only do that once we're affiliated.
It sounds, at the moment, you've got a blank sheet of paper here to start a football club. Now, for a football manager aficionado like me, that's amazing. But there's so much you must have to think about, from match day stewarding to who, how many pies you can order that week for the catering, or
it's a million miles away at the minute. Yeah. In all fairness, as Paul said, because we've got a skeleton really, and we've got to put everything around it, and ultimately, like Paul said, it's like we need to go through one door to explore the next lot of questions and issues, and then go through another door, and so on and so forth, until we eventually get over the line. Hopefully, come what the summer, and we're going into a league, but it's trying to like clear one door to get into the next room, the next room, the next room. And at the minute, all we're trying to get is the situation of the next room's going to be nuts and bolts and get some answers and maybe more support from England. And then see where we go with them then pushing it. The reaction in England's been phenomenal.
I was going to say,
the Northwest Counties has been phenomenal. I think they're desperate to get us in. It'll be everyone's favourite weekend, the Alamo, let's be honest.
Well, I was going to touch on this before. Obviously, Guernsey FC, their home games regularly get about 1,000, a bit under that. Yeah. It's a big draw on them. Jersey is an interesting one because obviously Jersey have a Championship rugby team, which is second tier of the rugby system in England.
Yeah.
They're regularly a sellout at home. Jersey Bulls, obviously they've just started. I think they've had about 950.
It's functioning around just under 1,000.
Yeah. I read somewhere else that on the same day there was the attendance of one of the other games was 12.
So in the league, not in Jersey.
No, sorry, sorry, in the same league.
Yeah.
And it just shows you, as you say, FC Isle of Man will be a big draw. You know, even across, I would say, we probably attract the XL bank season. Northwest will probably come and have a look, just out of curiosity.
You would hope so. Yeah.
I'm passionate about it. I'm passionate, obviously, about the Isle of Man, as Paul is and as many other people are, what we can achieve. And we punch so much above our weight in so many other sports. And when you only have to go to the sports awards every year, and I sit there sometimes, and the hairs on my neck stand up when I realise what other people are achieving that I don't know about. And it makes me proud to be part of Manx sport all down the years, and this is another thing going forward. I'd say to people out there who are talking about these issues now, we're talking about problems that have existed now and have been happening for the last 10 or 20 years. Let's look ahead to the future and give the young kids in the game, whether they're five, that future five-year-old's going to be a 20-year-old one day, and it's going to be somebody's 20-year-old, it's going to be someone's grandson, granddaughter, whatever it's going to be, let's give them an opportunity and something to aspire to. Mm. The aspiration trail that Mike Doyle spoke about so often, what they created for cyclists, let's give it to them, because where we are at the minute, people go on about football's broken, and it might be broken, so let's try and fix something that might make it a bit more interesting. If we take the 20 players out, people are automatically presuming we're weakening Manx football. And maybe in terms of the quality, to a degree we will be. But actually, it'll make Manx football more interesting. It'll make it more competitive for the other clubs that have been complaining for years about how St George's, Peel, St Mary's, whoever, have been dominating football. It'll make it more interesting. It gives the young kids in the game now, in the junior league, which is an area of football that's not broken, gives them something to aspire to, and so it might actually get the interest back up again, get kids looking forward to, when I'm 20, I'm going to play in that team. And actually, we might find in another 10 years off the back of the FC Isle of Man, Manx football could be flourishing again. You know, it might be everyone's finding their right levels, everyone's got a chance of winning stuff more, and you might find that the combi teams start coming back. But let's be clear, the combi teams are disappearing now. That's nothing to do with FC Isle of Man. That is a social problem, as we just spoke before we came on air. So, you know, let's be positive about this. Let's give the young kids, people sat at home now who might think, well, I don't think it's a good idea. Think about your children, think about your grandchildren and their kids, and think about what you're actually going to leave behind for them. Because if we don't do it now, and then we wait another 10 years and someone else has a go at it, every time we're losing generations of kids. We've already had the great St George's team era, where everyone said, oh, they should have been in a league. They've missed the boat, most of them now. But there's actually a new generation of kids coming through. Let's not let them miss the boat and wait till the next generation and then they might miss the boat. Let's give it now. Let's have a go at it. If it doesn't work out when we fall flat on our faces, at least we can sit back and say, well, we tried it and it didn't work. So now we know where we are. Let's go back to the drawing board again and see how we fix some of these issues that people might have. But, you know, I'm passionate about young kids having opportunities. And so this, for me, is the biggest opportunity they're going to ever have. We can get them into a semi-professional football, to open doors into professional football on a more realistic scale than what we're trying to do it now, where we take them over for 2 days, a week, 2 weeks on trial. You get a yes or a no. The kid might not make it and he comes into the Manx football system, and that's great. If we can get them in for 38 games a season, teams won't be taking them on trials. Teams will be signing them. We've got a kid now, Sam Bain, 16, training with the Isle of Man team. Let's say next summer we go live with it.
Sam Baines is in that squad and starts playing, a team might come in and just sign him. It might not be a trial. We might get a transfer fee from him.
Yeah.
And we'll reinvest it back into Manx football or Manx sport or the Manx sport and community. Let's try and build a model that actually starts to benefit everyone. And instead of looking for negatives, we can all look for the positive things of it all, you know, and get behind something. Because I think this island, I think it's better than Jersey. I think it's better than Guernsey. I think it's better than all them things. But sometimes I think we hold ourselves back by always looking for negatives in things. And I think we're a powerful island who can achieve incredible things, as we prove week in, week out, month in, month out, year in, year out in sport. Let's start giving the young footballers an opportunity, and hopefully off the back, like Paul said, we can actually help the community, we can help local businesses, we can do all them things and make our island as good as what it deserves to be.
I think you've just answered the first Twitter question that we I'll read out anyway. It's coming from Darren Flanagan. He asks, with the number of players declining rapidly and also the number of referees, how does this help anyone apart from the 20 lads or whatever included? Surely the Isle of Man leagues will need to suffer for a few years and wait for the hopeful influx of young players wanting to play football.
I think Lee's answered that.
There's something else I can probably, it's not adding to Lee because that was fantastic and I agree with everything that he said. I think the business model that we're using is quite important in this regard. So we've always been really, really keen for it to be a community-owned football club. But it's very difficult to create a community-owned football club with the corporate vehicles available to us in the Isle of Man. So social enterprise companies aren't really possible in the Isle of Man the way they are in England.
Right.
So FC United is a case study.
Yeah.
They're something called a community benefit society, where you get a share in the club, but it doesn't. Everyone's share, no matter how much money you put into the club, you get one share. And you get a vote in all different blah blah blah. We can't set one of those up in the Isle of Man. So the way we've gone about it is to have a club called Sporting Club Isle of Man. So this is there, registered, ready to go, and that's a company limited by guarantee. In the next few weeks, hopefully that'll turn into a charity. Okay, that charity owns 100% of the shares of Football Club Isle of Man.
Okay,
and will always own at least 51% of those shares. So if you're a member of that charity, you're in fact an owner of Football Club, a stakeholder of Football Club Isle of Man, and will get an opportunity to vote and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
The idea in the business model is that Football Club Isle of Man, as all businesses, but will generate a surplus. And we're very comfortable that that will happen. A percentage of that surplus every year will go back to the charity. The charity will then invest back into the Manx game, invest into other sports, and invest into local community.
So just... So it's going to be clear in my head, and probably others, a bit like the Football Foundation. It works in the English FA. People will apply for, oh, we're going to paint our clubhouse, or we want some new mowing equipment, and they'll come to you with an image.
Kind of. So yeah. The main things that charity, once we get the Mem and Arts sorted properly, is looking at is providing opportunities for team sports to represent the Isle of Man.
Right.
And also the individuals within them to go on and be professional athletes within team sports.
Okay.
A part of that might be facilities, but it's mainly providing opportunities.
So whether that be coach education, or trips to an event across or something like that.
Yeah, so maybe sponsoring the women's national team or giving money to them to go away and do things. Maybe it's giving money to the Centre of Excellence so as they can go on more trips away.
Yeah.
Maybe it's getting coaches over from professional clubs in order to help educate the coaches in grassroots. Maybe it's setting time aside from the people who are working at FC Isle of Man to go into grassroots clubs in the Isle of Man and spend time with them, helping them fix some of the problems that they're finding from a day-to-day basis.
Yeah.
The list is endless of what it could be. But part of that charity is, could we have a cycling team,
right,
doing the same thing as a football team? Could we have a hockey team? You know, could we have a Moto 3 team?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the football is the start in our head of creating other sporting teams, which then go off and represent the Isle of Man in their sport. Mm-hmm. By supporting the football club, it's more likely that we can then reinvest in other sports going forward.
Mm.
And that's why we're really keen. Like, if you're not necessarily a football fan,
but you're a sports fan. Yeah.
It does you well to get on board with FC Isle of Man. If you're not a sports fan but you love the Isle of Man,
yeah,
then do get on board with what we're trying to do, because the more surplus we generate, the more we can reinvest back into the Manx community through sport and team sport in the main, but also into community projects that mean an awful lot to us. So as we really kind of like, you know, feed back in, and it can't be about the 20 lads, it can't be about the 14 lads. It's about promoting and giving opportunities to as many Manx residents as possible. So we're going to play on a Saturday night.
Right.
We could eat the North West Counties League are meant to have us play on a 3 p.m. on a Saturday. If we play 3 p.m. on a Saturday, we're fighting then against the local game for supporters. If we play on a Saturday night, which they seem open to at this moment in time, everyone who's been playing football on a Saturday afternoon can go. Yeah, we can turn the evening into a big event. We can also say to the clubs that are coming over, you're staying over. We're having to pay for you to stay over. Maybe you'll go to for dinner. Maybe you'll go to a restaurant. Maybe you'll spend a few pounds in Douglas.
Yeah, my money's on the nightclubs.
Maybe you'll go somewhere for breakfast on the Sunday morning before you get your flight back. Maybe the fans that are visiting you will come Friday to Sunday.
Yeah.
So we're getting extra pounds spent on the Isle of Man. Guernsey and Jersey have more often than not, it's day trips in and out as quickly as you can. I don't know. Jersey and Guernsey have day trips. So every little bit that we're trying to do is about how can we make it a benefit to beyond those 14 players. Now, if a club is turning around and going, how is it benefiting us? Well, if your mum or your dad own a cafe in Douglas, then it might. Yeah, or your relatives do, or you know, whether it's the tourist industry or whatever it might be. Maybe you work for a business that's trying to do stuff in the northwest of England, and by partnering with us, suddenly you get more business, and therefore we get more jobs created in the Isle of Man. If we're just looking at combination football and we're just looking at local football, we're not doing ourselves the service that we could be doing. We have to look at how is this going to benefit the whole of the Manx community as much as possible. Mm. And we're trying to do that. And the business model we've got is with that in mind. Now, yes, the conversations around taking 20 lads out, 50 lads have gone out of the Manx game because the Manx game hasn't been able to match their aspirations in football in the last 20 years. Most of that has happened in the last 10 years. To Myersco, to universities, to America, into the pro game. How many of them have come back? How many of them are still playing football? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Will we keep people on the Isle of Man maybe a little bit longer so those 20 aren't missed? Yeah.
Yeah.
Will we attract people back to the Isle of Man from university? So those 50 don't include the lads who have gone to uni, to go to uni.
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe people might think twice about going to uni, and then suddenly you've got more of a workforce and a younger workforce in the Isle of Man. Or maybe you attract the Liam Doyles of this world back, Seamus Sharkies, Adam Long at some point on loan. Maybe we get more players staying on the Isle of Man because it meets their aspirations.
Kieran Tierney, because he's from Kieran the Isle of Man, isn't he? I'm sure.
But do you see what I mean? People thinking about the things that we're taking away. Well, actually, we think we're adding a huge amount to it, or could add a huge amount to it, if the clubs want to work with us.
Yeah.
And part of that is keeping people on the island. Now, if a young man comes along and can sign for Man City's academy at 16, go.
Yeah.
We're not going to keep you here to play for FC Isle of Man if you can go at that level. But if you're going into, with the greatest respect, Morecambe's academy at 16, we want to make sure that we got a pathway so you don't have to do that. Because the chances of you making it in Morecambe's first team are quite low. If you don't make it in Man City's first team, there's a long way down the pyramid that you're likely to get a game. So that's a very long-winded answer, but hopefully that demonstrates why it might be more than just about the 20 lads.
And that's why Paul went to university and I never about things in that kind of detail, Andy.
But we also had questions from Tony Sewell, obviously Jim Supremo, and John McCallum, former referee, and both are similar to that, Dave, weren't they?
They certainly were, yeah.
But we had a question from Damien Owen.
Yeah, so basically he just wants a bit more information. How will the squad work? Will it be dual registration so that non-travellers can play for your Peel, your St Mary's, Geordies, or whoever it may be? Or will it be tied to FC Isle of Man for a year? And he also asks, if it's dual registration, how do you stop players picking club over FC Isle of Man for a big game like St Mary's versus Rushden or Peel v Geordies?
If they're still big games. great question. And the honest answer is I don't know. Jersey have gone down a dual registration route.
Guernsey's dual registered or not?
Yeah, I think they started off that way. Mm. Their ideal is eventually they don't have that and they just have players contracted to Guernsey once they get high enough in the league. Mm. So dual reg would allow players, if they choose to play in the local league if they're not in the FC Isle of Man team. Mm-hmm. I think the rules have changed, haven't they? So every player is now deregistered from their club at the end of every season.
Yes.
So the concept of FC Isle of Man taking players from clubs is a misnomer. That doesn't happen. The players will choose to sign for FC Isle of Man because they're the ones that have control. We would say that we wouldn't take any player if they owed any money to any of the local clubs.
Right.
That is a no-no.
I think a lot of clubs locally try and do that as well.
Yeah, fair, yeah.
They do, but from what I'm hearing on the grapevine at the moment, there's a few issues because people have signed for other clubs while still owing a fair amount of money. So we just wanted to make it clear that we certainly wouldn't be doing that.
Yeah.
So the player would choose. They could choose to solely register for FC Isle of Man, or they could choose to dual register. Now, how they go through that decision is entirely up to the player. And how that works within the local game, I don't know. Mm. We've got about 5 different scenarios that we could propose. But one of the big things that I wanted to get over was that we're not here to dictate what will happen. If we do that, we're operating outside of the Isle of Man FA system, and we don't want to do that. We want to be part of that pathway. We want to be able to bridge the gap between the local leagues and the professional game. That's what we want to be able to do, because that's a huge gap that's missing in our offering to footballers in the Isle of Man at the moment. Now, we're only going to do that if we work as part of an integrated system and we figure it out amongst ourselves and we sit down and have grown-up conversations. Those grown-up conversations can happen once we're affiliated. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, again, it's just pie in the sky.
Yeah, yeah.
So clubs might find that once they start talking about dual registration, so many questions pop up around, when are you going to let the teams know that the players are going back? Can the players that aren't playing on a Saturday for FC Isle of Man train on a Thursday night with the clubs? What happens if a player gets injured on a Thursday night during your training session, you take a player back out of the game? What happens if we have a big game on a Saturday? Who has first ownership of the player? Well, it's the team in the highest league, so they'd be first registered to FC Isle of Man and then dual registered to the local team. Some players could be dual registered, first named with the local team, and then be FC Isle of Man. But there's so many different scenarios that...
Dual registration is actually quite common.
Very common in
England, isn't it? And you get players that... I'm trying to think of an example, but especially non-league, would be registered with a higher non-league team, but then as well with a lower one. And it's essentially a loan system.
To an extent, isn't it? As long as you're playing in a different league structure. So if you're playing in, you can play in Step 3, and if you're not getting a game in Step 3, you can go and play in Step 5. Mm-hmm. And you can even go and play in Step 7 and Step 8 as well. So you can almost play in 3 or 4 different league structures as long as you're not playing above. Mm-hmm.
Very tired.
But a lot of players do it in England, and it's something that we would need to get our heads around. Now, clubs may well say all those complexities on a week-to-week basis and trying to liaise with which players you've got available is something that they don't want to have. So can you, FC Isle of Man, just take 20 players? And we know what players we've got now for the season. And if you go below your 20, you'll maybe draw in a player at a time if you've got injury problems or something like that, and you'll do that making sure that you're not taking a player out of a team that's got a big game in the table. But I don't know.
And
we can only sit down and have the conversations once we're affiliated, but it would seem, based on the conversations we've had so far, that dual registration is the way most local clubs would like to go from the outset. If we're getting somewhere close to National League North, the likelihood is those players are going to be signed on contracts and unable to play in the local league. But that's for the good of everybody, I think, at that point.
Yeah, well, that leads us nicely into our next question from Matthew Suckling. And he says, I understand how in the first instance you will have a squad of 23, he says, but you said 2014. Well, that is part of the Island setup, we want to be involved. But from year 2 and 3, how will players get into the team? Will it be open trials, for example, in June or July? Will it be a scouting of the local league to pick potential new players? Now, I'm going to add on to that. If we get to a point, as you say, the National League North, or maybe even the top of the league below, which
Northern Premier League.
Northern Premier League, will you have to start looking outside the Isle of Man to get the quality you think we need, or were you quite happy that we've got what we need here?
Part of this project is, as Lee quite eloquently actually for him, surprisingly, put earlier, we believe in the Isle of Man, and we believe in the kids that we've got here, and believe in the grassroots coaches that we've got, and we believe in the businesses. We believe that we can do amazing things on this island, and we should probably stop looking at off island as much as we do for help. The bit of water could be seen as a barrier, or it could be seen as an opportunity for us to do things slightly differently and more efficiently. We see it as an opportunity to do things differently and more efficiently to the football system that happens over the water. Some of the stuff that goes on is beyond belief. So there's some very good clubs out there, but there's also, we believe that we can do things in a much better way. So we think, because of the culture we've got here, because of the history, because of the pride, because of all the fantastic things we've got about our community, why can't we be like an Athletic Bilbao? Why can we not be one of the best places in Britain or the world to produce young footballers? We do it in some sports, yeah?
Cycling,
for example. I'm fortunate to spend a lot of time working with Isle of Man Sport and Isle of Man Sport Aid, and I know what an amazing place this island is. The best place is, in fact, one of the best places in the world to grow up to be good at something. Yeah, but then the bit that's missing is the opportunity to help you go on and realise that potential. So in football, there's some amazing stuff that happens that we know produces good young players. If we can tweak up the opportunities for those players, we believe we've got more than enough on island to go and create a professional football team. If you add into that the players that are living off island who are Manx,
right?
Yeah, and that could come in either on loan or come back into the game. You add in that the players that go to university who are originally from the Isle of Man and can maybe add stuff as required. I'm not sure we need to be looking beyond our shores.
Right.
If we're doing it properly, and our aim is to have a program, have a structure, have a pathway in place, so as much as possible it's Manx residents or Manx players playing in this team. It's about creating opportunities for Manx people and residents, so why would we start buying in players from elsewhere? It's just ridiculous.
Would you think it would get to a point, and I'm playing devil's advocate here, that maybe, let's take for instance, I know some of the oppositions you've faced in the last couple of seasons have come from Wales, North Wales in particular, and you get players that have maybe not been successful in one of the Liverpool or Everton or some of the other North West clubs, and they, as you were talking about, trickle down to the Welsh League, and they see that as their next step. Would you get players maybe from Merseyside, North West, moving here because they think, oh, FC Isle of Man have got a good team now, they're going up, I'm going to move to here and try and...
Maybe, but then that isn't that a good... If they've got a skill set for the local economy and they're able to fill a gap in the local economy, then brilliant. You know, that's a win for the island, isn't it? Are we going to be actively chasing those players? Probably not.
No.
But if they decide to choose to up their lives and move to the Isle of Man with a family, then that's a bonus for the Manx economy, isn't it?
Yeah. And it fits in nicely with the Isle of Cannes, whatever it is, the current, you know, where they were trying to attract that age group back on the
Yeah, completely. So that locate Isle of Man is critical, really. You know, if you look at Jersey and Guernsey, who are our main competitors, you know, for people to come and live and businesses to relocate to, as you've already said, Guernsey have got a football team, have for 9 years. Jersey have got a rugby team, a football team, and a women's netball team. What have we got to attract people?
Yeah.
You know, I think we've got to look at our place in the world and the place in the British Islands and go, look, if we don't, then we're slipping behind.
And we're probably in a better geographic location than
we're in a much better geographical location to do it. So now, you know, would we use a loan system in order to bring an amazing young player from Everton that could add value to our players to make them better than they are at the minute? Well, maybe. But not one, maybe two, that's going to bring the standard that we've got all up, but not buying players in and not...
Guernsey did that very thing, same thing, didn't they? They had Chris Tardiff, who was their rep team manager now, wasn't he? Was their Guernsey FC's goalkeeper since the start. I think he retired maybe two seasons ago. Brought Callum Stanton in from Bournemouth, young goalkeeper, 17, 18-year-old. He's been their first-choice goalkeeper for the last two seasons. Been earning rave reviews by all accounts, but it was a key position. and it's helped them, hasn't it? And it's kept them in that league they're in at the moment. Probably his performance, I'm not saying his performance alone, but it's been a key factor in
that. Yeah, exactly. So at some point you might look and go, well, we're short in a key area or two, but and we really need to stay in this position, because if we don't, sponsors go away or crowds go down or whatever it might be, it's critical to the business model. So you've got to look at it, but the whole ethos is about providing opportunities for Manx residents. So key partners, Manx businesses, you know, we're looking for, you know, strategic partnerships around whatever it might be, is to showcase Manx business and to showcase the Manx community and Manx individuals. So become a place that people know, because we're flipping brilliant at what we do, not because we're a tax or we got a cat with no tail, or just a TT
or a prison.
Or a prison. You know what I mean? But why can't we be known for being bloody brilliant at stuff?
Second part of Matthew's question, wasn't it? Yeah.
We go back to his question. He gives an example. This is about the whole trial and things like that. So, for example, you might spot a player who's playing well at Corinthians in December. So would you approach the player and coaches and say you've been watching them and you'd like to work on specific stuff for the rest of the season with a view that in June and July they'll be invited for a trial? Is that an idea or is it?
Well, they're all ideas, and a lot of, you know, the meetings we've had, people have come up with various different scenarios around how we might select players, and they're all, you know, they all have value and they all add to the conversation, really. That's a long way of saying I don't know. What I would say is, you know, we've already spoken to the FA really about it, is that although we're saying we wouldn't put any teams into the junior league, we would like to partner with the FA with the Centre of Excellence. Mm. So we see that as the ideal opportunity to help the better players to understand what's required in order to play at FC Isle of Man. We would like to have a Manx DNA, you know, an FC Isle of Man DNA, a way of playing and a style of play that can be worked on in an environment like that.
Yeah.
Now, part of that might be sharing coach education resources with the local game. If you want to be a player in the Isle of Man or FC Isle of Man team, and you want to play in this position, these are some of the things you need to be thinking about and being able to do. Whether we invite players in on trial, whether if we can ever get to a point where the local clubs are saying, these players, please have a look at them because we think they should be in your team. Mm. So as we're all working together through a pathway rather than against each other, you know, they're not any, the players aren't any clubs, and any one club's property. They're from the Isle of Man, and it's about us providing opportunities to help them really realise their potential. If that is in Jim's Combi, great. If it is in FC Isle of Man first team, great. But we've got to help every player find their level, and we're all part of helping them find their level.
Yeah. How do you set a question? I think it's one of those we've probably answered a lot along the way, isn't it? You know, he's talking about what's the possible knock-on effect to the grassroots football. And again, we've said, you know, you've said that you're going to try, and that's hopefully that be a part of the conversation, you know, if and when we press the button, as it were.
Yeah.
He says the local game Guernsey has suffered because of Guernsey FC. Now, there's a question that I've added on the end here. Have you learned anything from Guernsey FC and Jersey Bulls in specifically? I know Jersey's only, they've only just started. Yeah. They're only a couple of weeks old on it, in effect. But Guernsey, as you say, have been around. That surprised me, 9 years. It seems that they're only quite new, but 9 years is quite long.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I spoke to the guys who set up Jersey, and Tony, who's been the manager of Guernsey FC since...
Tony Vance,
yeah.
He was rep team manager, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
And he was in the Gibraltar tournament we played. That's in. Right. He was... Did they win that?
So they've been really, really helpful. The biggest thing that they said, both of them, that if they could do it differently, was to do it with the football community.
Right.
So as part of an integrated pathway, where we're all seen to be working with each other, rather than going off by themselves and doing it outside of their FAs. Now, Jersey have had good support from their FA, but they're still outside of that system to a certain extent. Guernsey were outside of that system for quite a while, and now they're trying to build a new stadium.
Yeah.
They've got a partnership now with Guernsey FA. But we would like to be key strategic partners with the FA and the clubs from day dot. And that's why we're spending so much time offering to go out and speak to people. We've got three clubs who have invited us to committee meetings at the beginning of September. We've got two town hall meetings, one in the south, one in the west, which we'll announce in the next few days. We want to go out and speak to people, engage with people. So it is part of the football system rather than working outside it. We can get this over the line without the clubs, but we don't want to.
No.
We, in an ideal world. But we passionately believe that these opportunities should be available to our young players. And if we have to go that way, then we probably will. But it's not our ideal scenario at all. And we hope that we can build something together with the clubs to help support the great things that they're doing. And if we can use our skills, and I don't mean my skills, I mean the club's skills as they progress through the league system, to come back in to reinvest in the Manx game, whether that's financially, whether that's educationally, whether it's whatever it might be, then we will do.
You're talking of clubs that you're going to see in September.
Yeah, it segues nicely into the next one. Dave Matheson from D&D. Again, you know, you've pretty much answered these anyway, but...
I think it's the third question, though, isn't it?
Yeah, well, he's asked, you know, how's it going to be funded in the long term? And he also said, thanks for agreeing to come to the D&D September committee meeting to discuss it with us.
My pleasure, not a problem. Funding is...
That's a big thing, though, isn't it? You know, the money that's apparently talked about being put into Guernsey FC is not something you find on the back of the couch.
No. It's a different level compared to where the local game is at this moment in time. And it's not a small amount of money, but the thing that I said to the Arlham NFA reps, it's not their problem. It's our problem, it's my problem. You know, if we can't get a sustainable...
And you're not going to take money away from clubs?
We're not asking any resources from any Arlham NFA club, whether that's financial or administrative or human resource. Mm-hmm. Unless they are offering it, we're not going to ask for it or expect it. We've said that one of the potential things that commitments that we'll make to the Arlham NFA and the clubs is that we won't take any sponsorship from a sponsor that's currently working in the local game unless that sponsor doesn't remove the money they're already putting into the local game. So we won't actively go and speak to anybody sponsoring local clubs or the local game.
Yeah.
If they come to us, fair enough, but only on the proviso that they maintain the funding that's going into the local game. Yeah. So it's these little details and little bits that we've thought about quite a lot.
Yeah, that's a massive thing.
We really want to reassure people over...
That must be your task even harder. Not with respect, there's quite a lot of sports... companies involved with Manx football.
Yeah.
So you're cutting... quite a lot away.
Maybe, but the sums of money, so we're looking at being a premium brand. Like what we're looking at doing gives exposure to Manx companies and everybody else on a daily basis in the northwest of England. Yeah. It's not the rep games where you know once every 3 months or whatever. There's a narrative to this that will get people's awareness in the northwest of England and beyond to what we're doing and the way we're going to play and the way we're going to go about our business. The aims of being a League Two club, the aims of being a real community owned and community focused venture, I think will get a lot of organisations quite excited, and I hope they do. But the money we're talking to them about, because of what we can offer and the markets that we're talking about, is considerably more than what they'd be looking at putting into the local game. If they're talking to us, then the money they're putting into the local game, it should be quite easy to maintain, because the figures we're going to be talking about are a little bit higher than that. But as far as funding goes, and that's part of talking back to the community-owned aspect, you know, if there are 10,000 people on the Isle of Man that are proud of the Isle of Man and that would like a way of promoting the Isle of Man beyond our shores and are happy to spend 7 cups of coffee in a year to do it, pay £20, then that's most, if not all, the budget done.
Right. Wow.
So then you add sponsorship, then you add season tickets, then you add gate revenue, then you add programme, then you add all the rest of it, then it's a really sustainable business model. But if we have 500 people willing to put £20 in to be a member of the club, then the onus then becomes on sponsors, it then becomes on getting through the gates, the ticket prices have to go up, you know, merchandise has to go up. So part of what we're talking about over the next 3 weeks is really, is there the appetite for people to to get behind this. And if it is, then it becomes a really affordable way of getting high quality football or live entertainment on the Isle of Man. If it isn't, then I guess we're relying on a sponsor going, okay, we really love the sound of this, it fits with what we're trying to do over the next 5 years, and we're prepared to back it. We're hoping that it's the community aspect and that people are willing to put £20 a year aside to go, actually, this is really worth us getting behind. So yeah, the next kind of 8 weeks gives us a bit of a flavour of that.
You talked about the timeline sort of loosely.
Yeah.
But it's... You're talking possibly next season, aren't you?
Yeah, that's one we're looking at. So we're looking to apply for the 2020, 2021.
But that, to me, doesn't sound like that much time.
It's not. No. That's why... well, that's what... We've been working on this for 12 months.
Yeah.
So this isn't us just coming up and, you know, we've got a business plan that's about to go to the North West Counties League that we've been working on for quite a while now. So it's not a fly-by-night approach. Mm. We've gone public at the right time, because if we went public 12 months ago, then it would just run out of steam and it's too far away. But we're within 12 months of starting. The North West Counties League would be required to apply on our behalf by the end of January. So the dual conversations going on with the North West Counties League, which have been amazing, and the local clubs for affiliation have to happen at the same time, with a view hopefully to get the support from the local clubs at the beginning of October, which then ramps up the conversations with the North West Counties League. So it's by the end of January, we have an application. By the end of March, we have the ground signed off. And by the end of May, we have we get assigned a league.
Right.
Or not.
Do you think there'll be any opposition for any of the other clubs in the league? You know, I know we talked about it before and saying, it should be a big ticket for them. And obviously they're going to get an away trip. But do you think there'll be some that think, I can't be bothered going to the Man, you know, twice or once a season or whatever?
Yeah, I don't think so. Because, you know, again, you're citing the Jersey and the Guernsey spectator numbers. You know, there's no other place in their career where they may get to play in front of 1,000 people. You know, so it's a huge opportunity for them. And if we're getting good crowds down, then those players, it's going to be the one game in the season they want to be at, especially because we're paying for all their travel and accommodation. So we really want those events to be, you know, the away game for that league and for those clubs. We really, you know, we've said it on an interview. We have some fantastic festivals on the Isle of Man that bring the community together. We want to have a weekly festival on the Isle of Man, which happens to be an Isle of Man, FC Isle of Man football game. We want to showcase local produce. We want to showcase local bands. We want to showcase just local great stuff. And it just so happens that it's around a football game. And why football? Well, it's the game that we know most of all. And it's the game that at this moment in time is most likely to attract the numbers required to make it financially sustainable and most importantly generate a surplus to reinvest back into the local community.
We've talked about Saturday fixtures, but you always said it's a 38 game season. There's obviously going to be midweek games. Now that's going to be a logistical problem, surely.
In what way?
Well, getting our team there or them back, you know, in one night, because you're going to have to stay overnight, surely.
So this is part of the conversation with the North West Counties League. Yeah. There's a few different options. The Jersey have gone down quite a nice little route where the workplaces of the players are sponsoring them.
Okay.
So I believe that is in view to the fact that they can take time off work in order to go and play away fixtures midweek and not be penalised financially for that.
Yeah.
So rather than their companies putting cash money into the club, it's a time thing for the players.
Makes great sense.
Great sense, yeah. And they get the publicity then of a player playing at that level. Now, I don't know what the conversation will be and how the conversation will go, but it may well be that we need to say to the North West Counties League, we'll play midweek fixtures away.
Okay.
So we're not asking their clubs, where their players won't have those commitments from their work, to take a day or a day and a half off work for away games. The way the league works out, there's only four midweek fixtures at the beginning of the season.
So, similar in a way to we only have midweek games at the start of the season.
So we're only talking about four fixtures unless you get cup replays and you get rearranged fixtures on a Saturday, where towards the end of the season it might be a bit of an issue. But it's a lot a lot less demanding than maybe it would have been a few seasons ago. So the system, the National League system, has been reorganised over the last few years. Well, last season was the first part of that reorganisation where they did steps 1-4. This season coming is steps 5-6. And after next season, that's it, done.
Right.
So getting a new club into that league system is nigh on impossible.
So this is our shot, basically.
To do it this way.
Yeah.
So all the consultation we've had is the best route for a Manx team to get in an off-island league is for a new club to be formed that represents all of the clubs in the whole of the Isle of Man.
Mm-hmm.
If we believe that's the best way to do it, this year is probably our last opportunity to do it that way.
Wow.
Easily.
Yeah.
Yeah, because then you're asking basically the English FA to go against all of the restructuring they've done for the last 3 years.
Yeah.
So that's why we've gone now as well, because it's kind of time critical, really. If people believe this is a half decent thing to do because they like football, they like sport, and they love the Isle of Man, then let's get behind it now. Yeah. Otherwise, it becomes super difficult for us to do it in this way. You could do it with a club in the future, but then that's really divisive, isn't it?
Yeah.
All the best players go to one club. All the junior players go to one club. And then the whole game then really is in trouble.
Yeah. Yeah. Makes sense. Question from our man in the States. Well, one of our men in the States.
Chris Clark. Obviously, legend at New England Revolution still. You obviously touched on this with the Centre of Excellence, etc. But he asks, having met with the Junior League, are there plans to offer programme to the Island's junior players? And if so, how would that look? He also just says good luck with this exciting project to all involved.
Thank you, Chris. He's at the New England Revolution, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's a
junior coach there.
Yeah. So another Manxy doing well in a different way. And that, you know, before I answer the question, is a key part of what we're doing. You know, we want to give people experience on Ireland so they can go in and do amazing things in the game all around the world. And then if you've got Manxies doing stuff like Chris is doing and people hearing he's from the Isle of Man, it's another way to sell our island, isn't it? And him being there and other people going off and doing great things around the world from FC Isle of Man makes it even easier to get our players and other people those opportunities in the future. So the main thing is around hopefully partnering with the Centre of Excellence. We don't want to set up a junior programme that takes players away from grassroots clubs. It would be hopefully, if clubs were willing to do it, us the club, FC Isle of Man, going and helping them do what they do even better than they're doing it already, if they believe they would like some assistance.
Yeah.
But in their environment, not us taking them out, because that's divisive and that isn't a good way to go.
Yeah, makes sense. Questions in from Richard there.
Yeah, and again,
some good ones.
Good question, this. So does FC Isle of Man mean the end of any attempt for the Island to become a full UEFA member?
I've no idea. I wasn't involved in any of that, so I don't know. Does it stop it from happening in the future if people wanted to explore it? No, it doesn't stop it in any way. Is it likely to happen unless UEFA change their rules? Probably not. But no, it doesn't stop that at all. If people wanted to do that and spend a couple of million quid.
Again, that's you changed down the back of the sofa, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, that's what he says, because he said the standard of opposition in the North West League probably isn't any better than what we already face in the Interleague Cup, Quadrangular Island Games, etc. So if it's about giving young players better exposure, will the move to a non-league English system be better than lobbying UEFA for membership, which would give Manx players exposure across Europe? Well, as you said, it costs a lot of money, doesn't
it? It's a huge amount of money with no guarantee of success.
Yeah.
Jersey have tried and been knocked back with no... doesn't look like there's any further conversation to that. It's kind of like a no, back in your box sort of conversation. If we were looking at staying at step 6 and step 5, fair point, but we're not. We're trying to create a professional football club, which we believe then gives players access and exposure across Europe. So we're doing it in a slightly different way, which costs less money in the short and long term. The Interleague Cup, while we're talking about this, you know, the Isle of Man representative side would still be able to go into the Interleague Cup.
Okay.
It would be the players that are playing local football.
Guernsey.
have done it. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. So the players that don't necessarily get exposure to off-island competition would get exposure, which then would raise their standard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the Island Games would be sort of halfway house between the two.
Between the two, potentially. Yeah. So the FC Isle of Man players could opt to play in that if they were selected.
Yeah.
And the quadrangular, the Umbro Cup. Yeah. England C are probably going to go into that competition, so to compare them to the Northwest League is very disingenuous. The fact that the Republic of Ireland team are basically the second tier in the Republic.
Junior FA in Scotland are strong as well.
So they're far higher standard than the Northwest League we would enter in at.
Yeah.
But you could then pick your national team as such, wherever that might be from. That, you know, that could include your Seamuses and your Liams and people like that in the future if they wanted to play and you could get them back. So you'd have a three-tiered representative structure then. You'd have a representative team from the local league. You'd have your national team in the Island Games, which is best of local league and best of FC Isle of Man who wish to play. Mm. And then you'd have your full hit of a national team, which is the very best players you can get your hands on to play against the very highest standard that those players can play against.
Yeah.
But they are all competitions that happen either every 2 years or every now and again.
Yeah.
We're trying to do something that happens every week.
Yeah, exactly. His final question was, are there concerns about brand confusion that another Island team could create? We'll have FC Isle of Man, the Isle of Man FA side, and Ellen Vannin. So there's three representative teams.
Yeah, and Jersey have that now.
They've got the
parishes of Jersey. Whether Ellen Vannin continues, that was all about, from what I understand it, providing players with an opportunity to play at a higher level. If they now have that through FC Isle of Man, is there a need for Ellen Vannin? I don't know. You'll have to ask the people behind that. The FC Isle of Man and the logos and everything like that, they're just working titles and working things just to have something to put out there. I kind of feel the football club has to have Isle of Man in the title because we're trying to promote the Isle of Man. Our job is really to make sure that those lines don't get too blurred, but ultimately FC Isle of Man is about representing the Isle of Man. It's about being the best that we can be, taking the best players who want to commit to playing in an off-island league. But they will be a different group of players to those that are in the rep team that play in the Island Games and then that play in the Umbro Cup. So, it's something to us to think about and consider about, and maybe with our branding and our messaging and who we're aiming towards, then it'll be slightly different. You know, we will be in charge of what FC Isle of Man do from a media point of view. Mm-hmm. Whatever happens with the rep teams is entirely up to the FA, Isle of Man FA. Mm-hmm.
Good answer. Right, it wouldn't be a series of questions if there wasn't one from this man, wouldn't there?
Yeah, Agent Rashid. He says, "Hi guys, great to have you back. Let me know when the agent is coming in." He says, "Paul, hope you're well. One question and one question only. How does the agent get involved with FC Isle of Man?"
£20.
There you go, £20, yeah. Yeah.
Well, is it going to be a... What, for your £20, do you get apart from the warm feeling inside that you have?
The happy glow, So TBC,
right?
Yeah, so discounted season tickets and match day experiences. We're hoping that again, we can only really do this if there's some affiliation support. We would kind of like it that we could get involved with local businesses and therefore offer some sort of discount for spending money in local businesses. So,
that'd be cool.
You as a member of Sporting Club Isle of Man can also get access to spending the Manx pound on the Isle of Man rather than going off and spending it elsewhere. So that's kind of TBC. Mm. But there will be a warm glow, to an extent. The opportunity to vote on certain relevant issues within FC Isle of Man, the opportunity to be voted to be the representative of the sporting club on the FC Isle of Man board. You know, there's ways that people will be able to contribute. He's more than welcome to be a steward if he would like to.
He looks good nowadays, I heard, yeah.
No, there'll be loads of opportunities to get involved, but we need a club in the first place.
You're not going to, I know this is obviously, as you say, a bit along the way down the line, but you're not going to go in the route that I think was a club in France where they were, you people could vote on the
substitutions
and selection team selection.
No, we did investigate a couple of different apps around how members can interact with the club. We would like to use relevant technology for voting and for member decisions and taking stuff out to the members or the stakeholders within the charity. And as I say, that would then inform the decision making or the voting preference if there is one of the representative on FC Isle of Man board. So, we want to make it as easy as possible for people to engage with what we're doing. Part of what we're trying to do is to be the antithesis of Premier League. Of Premier League football. So open transparency, everybody making sure that they're not getting taken the piss out of, you know, from the money they're spending at the club is going into stuff that they care about. We want to have the highest moral and ethical values that we possibly can. You know, we want to show that you can be successful by being decent people and not being shysters and not, like, you know, rinsing people for money and or acting inappropriately with people's club and the community that support it.
I'm sure Andy would pay more than 20 quid if it meant that he would get an honorary mention on Footy Manager in a few years' time.
Yeah, well, that's it. I'm typing a letter at the moment. Dave, you might be interested to hear this. I've been away, so I've been playing a lot of Football Manager because that's what happens. The wife reads a book, I play Football Manager.
Yeah, you know, standard. Yeah.
Successful?
Correct, Clander. Tip for 21st in League 2. I got them promoted as first.
Solid.
They've got a very good academy, though, as well. Yeah, as you well, you know, that is well known within football circles. I'm not unearthing a gem, you know. But the point was going to make Isle of Man can't be a birthplace on there. So Liam Doyle's birthplace unknown.
It used to be Isle of Man.
God, no, Manx's nationality is from Easton. So I'm writing a letter.
Good.
On behalf of all
quite
of us.
Right, too.
Well, I think Dave Maxson will get involved in that as
Miles
well.
Miles Jacobson, who is sort of the godfather of Football Manager.
Yeah.
He will be getting that through because the new one will be out in the not too distant future.
It's a very strongly worded letter.
Before we go on to our usual any other business, Paul, if people, obviously you've got a great Facebook page, and there's loads of information on there, so that's just FC Isle of Man if people want to search on there, isn't it? If people have listening this afternoon and been enthused as I am, because it has been quite a motivational afternoon, how can they get in touch if they've got ideas or if they want just even want to, you know, offer some expertise or think?
The Twitter account is FC Isle of Man as well. We will have a website up and running next week, which will give people the opportunity to signal their support, you know, and sign up for newsletters and be first to hear about any kind of information that we're sharing, and also in time hold some frequently asked questions and all the rest of it. Info at fcisleofman.im is the email address. People have been just contacting me directly through Facebook and in various other different ways as well, because it is the Isle of Man. We'd love to hear from people. As we said before we started, lots of people are asking about the detail.
Yeah.
And that's fair, and I understand why. We're miles away from that yet, although we have thought about it quite a lot. We can't really talk too much about that or go into detailed conversations about the detail until we have a club. Although the company structure is set up and we hold meetings as a working group and a kind of a board of directors, as it were, until we have the support of the Isle of Man FA to affiliate next season, those real detailed conversations can't really take place. Yes, we're talking to potential sponsors, but again, real serious conversations can't take place until we know we're going to be able to play in the league next season. We're talking to the Department of Enterprise, we're talking to Desk about the bowl and lease 10 years and all that sort of stuff, but come back once you've got support to be affiliated. So that's the biggest thing, really. You know, like and share our Facebook page, because that gives us an indication of how many people are supportive. At the minute, we've got 1,500 people. Jersey Bulls have got 1,700, and they're already going. And Guernsey have got 5,000. So the more thousands of people that we can have demonstrating their support by liking and sharing the Facebook page, brilliant. The more people that are willing to sign up and show their support in the website, just the more power to our elbow. But the biggest thing really is, if you're a club member of a member club of the Isle of Man FA, your club is going to be voting at a vote on the 8th of October. If you have a really strong belief about this project, one way or the other, make sure they know what your thoughts are. Whether you're a parent of a junior player, whether you're a Combi 2 player, whether you're a grandparent of a player that's playing at the minute, there will be some players that benefit out of this in the short term, and fair enough, but we're not doing it for them. They'll be the ones that get us to the point where suddenly this is amazing. They might get us to Northern Premier League, but it'll be the players in 5 years' time that get us to the National League. It'll be the players in 10 years' time that get us to the League Two. So, and the coaches, and the managers, and the S&C professionals, you know, it's not about the people now. We're not doing it for them. And when you talk to Chris Bass Jr., talk to Frank Jones, they know they might not even get a sniff at it, but they're so passionate about it because they see how the opportunities for people that follow in their footsteps will be amazing. You know, Dicko touched on it earlier on, if anyone's still listening after an hour and a half, but when you were listening, he spoke about, you know, not being sat in 20 years' time and not having a group of players that have missed an opportunity. You know, in the board meeting the other night, Robbie Tier, Eddie Convery, Gareth Jones, Neil Shimon, Steve Faulkner, Mickey Bellis, Sam Kenny, Steve Corkill, Jeff Goff, John Ward, John Horbury, Johnny Palmer, you know, Graham Bramwell, Chris Bass Sr. The list goes on and on and on of the players who you could attach to, and if they lived in England, they would do really well in the game.
Yeah.
Right? From next season onwards, I want to make sure we've not got a list of about 100 players where you could say, if only he lived in England, he would have had a career in the game.
Yeah.
We've wasted 50 years with that. And when you my dad was not a fan of this initially. And then I said, well, you were a player, what would you have done? Would you have gone and played in the off-island team? Yes, 100%, because I want to test myself. I said, well, there you go then.
Yeah, exactly. And
you don't know who those players are going to be. So back to Dicko's point, you don't know in 5 years' time whether it's going to be your son or your relative, or maybe we have a women's team, your daughter or your auntie or whatever it might be. So let us explore this and find out whether it can really happen and really it can be a sustainable model that feeds back into the Manx community. If it can't, it won't happen. The FA won't allow us to make it happen. And if it's not working, then we won't do it, because hopefully it's come across we're passionate about making this work for the Manx community, not just 12 or 14 footballers. In fact, it's not that we don't care about them, but we're not doing it for them. Mm. We're doing it for everybody else. They just happen to be the vehicle that allows us to do it. So, you know, that's the key bit, really, is why wouldn't you allow us the opportunity to explore how this can be beneficial to the Isle of Man, rather than go, well, what about the problems it might create? Well, let's look at them as opportunities to move things forward a little bit. Yes, things need addressing in the Manx game, but that's for the Isle of Man FA and the member clubs to address. And as Lee said, they were already there before we even floated this idea. Can this be part of the solution? We believe it can, by some of the things we've outlined today. But it can only be part of the solution if one, clubs enable us to take the next conversation forward with everybody else, and two, they're part of creating the solution and not us just coming up with a load of ideas.
I think you've said it all eloquently. A bit of any other business before we finish here, Dave?
The Isle of Man FA under-18s started being off-island this week, doing well, playing in a few games.
Some of the kids that you're talking about, this is obviously the vehicle for them, as you say.
Yeah.
They beat Burnley's under-16 side 3-1 the other day. They thrashed Macclesfield Town's youth development squad 8-1. And right now they're playing Chester, so good luck to them today. And
Chester City, Dave, you obviously
well stumble ground. Deep Stadium.
They're doing very well. What if we had a Myersco College on the Isle of Man? So what if our 16
to 18 ask you about that?
Our 16 to 18 year olds could go to university, college, man, do a course and play football every day. What if?
Exactly.
That can happen next September or the September after if FC Isle of Man happens.
Amazing, wouldn't it?
I'm sold. I'll give you £20 now. Before we go, next Friday, Dave, the season kicks off sort of with a traditional, I like to call it the curtain raiser.
It certainly is, yes. Got the charity shield, the Eric Fletcher charity shield. At the ball next Friday night, it's Peel vs St Mary's. It should be
a good game. Obviously, a lot of chat about deregistrations. Yeah. It's deregistration season. This quite the same ring as transfer season.
No.
But we've had four transfers through, I think.
Confirmed, yes. We've had Kieran Smith has gone from Union Mills to Old Boys. Ross Wrighton's gone from Union Mills to Corinthians. Tom Brennan's gone from Corinthians to Douglas Athletic. Mm. We've had one of the most talked about transfers of the summer has been confirmed now. Kieran McNulty's gone from St George's to Michael.
And so, of course, his fellow Geordie striker,
Callum
Morrissey, has been pictured playing obviously already for the.
Yeah, so Michael will be a renewed force next season.
Best division in Europe.
That's it.
Well, after the Northwest Counties, JCK Division 2, but yes, that'll be definitely interesting to watch. So we'll be back with a preview special.
Yes, and it'll be on the day that the famed 4-5-1 comes out.
The aperitif to 4-5-1, our next podcast will be out on that Thursday before the season starts on September the 7th.
Yeah,
my memory is correct.
So it is.
We'll try and get a couple of good guests in for that one, won't we? It's hard to top this one, isn't it?
It is. We've had an epic guest to talk about the season.
So. I'm going away for a week now, so people don't have to listen to you.
Paul, thanks for coming in. Honestly, pleasure. it's been an absolute pleasure. As I say, thanks for explaining so eloquently what you're trying to do. And as I say, I'm enthused. I think this is the most animated I've seen Dave in weeks.
Yeah.
So,
Well, hopefully, more of the Manx community are. And as I say, it's not just a football thing.
That's about it. Until next week, Dave.
It's tough for now.